The holiday shopping season is upon us, my friends. And when it's time to do a little bit of Christmas shopping to find some toys, you know where I do my shopping? NerdRageToys.com. That's right, Nerd Rage Toys has the most amazing selection of new toys and really rad vintage toys. That's right, these guys have just about anything and everything you could possibly be looking for to either add to your own collection or even buy as gifts for some of your nerdy friends. That's what I do every year. I love tracking down some of these really cool vintage toys and surprising my friends with them. And Nerd Rage Toys has such an awesome selection of that kind of stuff. They've got everything from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to Thundercats, to Transformers, to X-Men. You remember the Toy Biz Uncanny X-Men stuff? Nerd Rage Toys has a ton of it. They've also got stuff like Masters of the Universe, Mask, Silverhawks, toys from Remco, Toxic Crusaders, Bucky O'Hare. So many incredibly cool vintage toys are all available, some of them mint on card, some of them loose and complete, all of them for great prices. But vintage toys isn't the only thing that you're going to find at Nerd Rage Toys. They've also got some of the latest, hottest toys like Marvel Legends, G.I. Joe, even Star Wars The Black Series. And they've got amazing pre-orders for figures that are still on the way. So where should you go when you're ready to do a little bit of holiday toy shopping? Say it with me, folks. NerdRageToys.com. That's the official sponsor of the Geek Easy Podcast. NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Geek Easy. I am your host, Pixel Dan, and as always, I am once again joined by my good friend and co-host, Jonathan Leonard. What's up, John?
Not much. Thanks for the intro, Dan. Thanks again for having me and making me the co-host here. And bear in mind, I have absolutely no plans of eliminating you and taking over your online empire, so you eat as many of those cookies that I brought as you want.
That's very good. I'm very happy to hear that there are no plans. I will enjoy your cookies. They're Thanks. Oatmeal Somebody. Raisin, and they're so good. They're so good. We have a second guest with us today. You guys may know him, or maybe you don't. But you're going to find out who he is. It's our friend, Jason Duvall of ToyWorldOrder.com. What's up, Duvall?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm all right. You know, it's funny you start this podcast, and suddenly it's like all three of us immediately go into this like completely different voice that we have, and it's I love every second of it.
I sound like this every day.
I do. I definitely have the video host voice or whatever that I kick on.
Yeah, when you start off, I can just hear it.
Yeah, it's funny. But
like, am I on a game show? Oh, no, wait.
What are you going to win, John?
I definitely think, though, it's just kind of like an amped up version of my normal voice, because sometimes that voice does come out in normal everyday activity. I remember when the funny example I have actually is when I went to California, I think it was a year or two ago. It might have been last year. I was there for PowerCon, but I met up with my friend George and Aileen from October Toys.
Right.
Yeah, and they took me out to lunch that day, and when I went up to the counter to order at In-N-Out, I just ordered.
Hey,
and
guys.
Aileen just started cracking up because she goes, "Your ordering food voice is the same as your Pixel Dan voice." And I was just like, I had no idea, but okay.
Somebody asked me once, they're like, "Why?" Because, you know, the people I meet in person, they're like, "You sound so much different when you're, you know, when you're on your reviews or on the air." And I'm like, well, you can blame wrestling for that, because that's years of wrestling training. Suddenly you become this different person in an instant. And you're like, that's not what I sound like at all during real life, but
Hey, I don't mean to add too much filler, but ordering food out of town reminded me. You remember that time we went into that Chick-fil-A in Florida?
Yeah.
And I told the lady behind the counter that I wanted to order enough chicken nuggets to choke a donkey. And she didn't skip a beat and just goes, "So you want the party platter?"
That was amazing. Oh, good that's times. Awesome. Good times. Yeah, so actually that's pretty good what you just brought up too about the wrestling thing. I actually, before we get into today's topic, I'm going to gush a little bit.
Oh, yeah, cuz you had a good weekend this last weekend.
I did have a good weekend. Yeah, I know. I want everybody to see the match. So first of all, if you've been following me for a while, you may know this. Maybe this is your first time hearing it, but I do the independent pro wrestling thing. I've actually been an indie pro wrestler for 13 years now. Yeah. And actually, that's how I met Duvall and John here. All the three of us became friends because of wrestling. We all have been involved in it. John and I still currently wrestle pretty regularly. I actually, the last 2 weekends in a row, I've had matches. I've had 3 matches in the last 2 weeks.
That's awesome. Nice.
I got one coming up Saturday, yeah. But I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm old and broken.
Yeah, Duvall's, you've been out of it for several years now.
Yep.
But yeah,
my knees can't take it anymore.
But I had a really good, awesome match this past weekend because myself and our other really good friend, my tag team partner, Jaren, Guy Smith, we actually got to have an awesome tag team match against a very good local talent named Harker Dirge and his tag team partner, Cowboy Bob Orton. Yes, the Cowboy Bob Orton. And I kind of gush a little bit about this because that's the biggest name I've ever worked, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
How is it? The old man still have it?
It was great.
I saw that picture of you taking that superplex.
Right? Yeah, I took the superplex. That's,
right. That's
friggin' he invented that move.
Innovator.
I took that move. It was awesome. Super great guy though. He was awesome. He was just really cool to meet, and it's always cool when you actually get to meet these guys, and you know. When they're really cool, down-to-earth people like that. And, I mean, it was so easy. I think that was the best part about it, you know. And not to go breaking kayfabe too much, but whatever. It's that day and age. Everybody knows kayfabe and everything. I just want to say that it was – the best thing about this is he's one of those guys that you don't even have to, like, plan anything out. We just got in the ring and we just went at it.
Nice.
It was awesome. It was so perfect. And the crowd was hot, and they were really happy to see him, and there were lots of You Still Got It chants, which was kind of fun. It was fun being in the ring, listening to the crowd chant that at Bob Orton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. It was awesome.
And being the guy to let him display that he still has it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it was really funny, too, because at the go-home when he put me up on the top rope, before he climbed up to give me the superplex, he just goes, "I hope I can still do this." And I was like, this is very reassuring right now. I'm glad that I'm about to...
I hope so, too, Bob.
But then he hit it, and I took the pin and he won and the crowd was happy and
awesome.
It was one of those things where like I just got backstage and everybody, you know, was like congratulating me backstage and telling me how great the match looked and it just felt so good.
That's fantastic.
You know what I mean? It's just like Jaren and I both were just like on cloud nine that night. We both felt so great after that match. So
that's awesome.
That's my fun. That's my little bit of a moment to gush about wrestling.
That time that D'Lo Brown hired you and then didn't pay you, was this better or worse?
This was way better than the time.
Right. I forgot you didn't get paid for that. None of you did you?
D'Lo Brown still owes me money.
D'Lo, we know you're listening.
Every time
D'Lo, we're still waiting on that check.
Every time D'Lo randomly shows up on TV, I just yell, "That guy owes me money still." That guy still owes me money. He brought me in to work a show and didn't pay me.
Oh man.
All right, so there you go. There's the wrestling segment out of the way. It was a lot of fun. I really hope they put that match online
I want to see it.
People.
I mean, somebody's got to have a copy.
There were several cameras rolling during that match, there's footage of it.
Does he still use the cast?
He didn't use the cast. He brought it.
Did he?
He didn't use it, though. Somebody came up to him backstage and like was like, "Hey, you can use the cast." And he's like, "Oh, it's in my bag." But I think it's probably one of those things where he's just like, if it calls for it or if the moment calls for it or the type of match, he'll use it. But he didn't use it. But I would have. That'd been awesome. I would have taken
the cash.
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I still took the superplex. So
that's cool.
That was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was really fun. I love wrestling. I really. That's one of those nights that just reminds you how much – I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those nights you have and you're just like, that's why I do this. Still, 13 years later, that's why I'm still doing wrestling on the weekends. It's cool. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the actual topic of this episode. Mm. This should be a really fun topic.
Well, you've been talking about doing this episode forever.
I have been talking about doing something along these lines in some shape or form for a very long time because this topic is really intriguing to me. Always has been. And I really kind of – I just got the spark up to really start wanting to do it again this past month because NECA just released their latest series of Predator figures.
Right.
And the entire wave has been kind of called by the fans the Kenner wave, because all of the Predators they put out in the wave were weird color combinations that harken back to the old Kenner line.
They're all homages to the old Kenner line.
They did a Lava Planet Predator, so he's all translucent red.
Yeah, so they did all these. I see these now.
They're amazing. Yeah, I'll have to show them to you. And even the packages, they made the packages look like the old Kenner boxes. The NECA logo is designed like the old Kenner logo. It's amazing.
And that wasn't the first time they've done it. They've done it in the past. They did it with their RoboCop line.
Yep, they made a glow in the dark RoboCop, which was
based off the
old ones.
And I mean, NECA, they're just so awesome. It's really,
I've gotta see these now.
It's total fan service, and I love it, you know. So I got those, and I was doing the reviews, and while I was reviewing those, I also simultaneously started reviewing the vintage versions of those figures, so that there was like comparisons between the two. Yeah. And it's just one of those things that's just like, man, this really makes me want to talk about the topic surrounding these. And that's the fact that that era of toys, which was mostly in the 90s there, kind of the early 90s, middle 90s, gave us a slew of kids' toy lines that were based on rated R films.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it wasn't just the early 90s. It goes back all the way to like 86, 87, too. It goes that far in, you know, back in the 80s.
Well, I mean, I guess to be fair, the whole thing probably started in 79 when Kenner released that Alien figure based on the first Alien movie.
Was that a kid's toy, though?
It was a kid's toy. Yep. And it was a large-scale Alien.
It was an 18 inches.
18-inch tall Alien based on the film. And it's one of those like really controversial toys because they released that and that caused all kinds of problems. Like, parents were just like, what is this? Yeah. Like, this is based on a rated R movie. And so Kenner's whole plan to, like, do a line based on that movie stopped at that point.
Part of Kenner's problem at that time was they didn't realize, no one knew what the rating was going to be at all. Because the studio was going back and forth. At one point, it was going to be PG. It was going to be PG-13.
Well, it was never going to be PG-13. PG-13 didn't exist.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. So it would have been PG then.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kenner really didn't know what they had on their hands when it came to the Alien franchise. And they just thought it was going to be a sci-fi movie in the vein of Star Wars to a degree, which is why they were kind of planning this big surge of all of this, you know, all of this merchandise. And then when, you know, they released the 18-inch, and right about that time, I think they realized what the movie was going to be, and it had opened shortly before that. And suddenly it was like, oh, this was a bad idea.
And that makes perfect sense if you think back to that era, too, because, I mean, like we just said, there was no PG-13 back then. PG-13 didn't come along until after Gremlins and Temple of Doom. So this was, what, 83, 84?
Yeah, okay.
In that range. So
I always forget PG-13 wasn't around back
then. Yeah, so there wasn't. And so, A, on your ratings guidelines, people weren't quite as stringent. I do believe at the time, I was way too young to know, but I think it was a lot easier for kids to walk into rated R movies. I think it was more like a parent warning more than it was like a theater back off thing. But the other token, there was such a wide range between that PG and R that it was often hard to predict which side you were going to fall on.
Yeah.
And you'd see a lot of movies from the early 80s and the 70s where they get away with a lot of what is today considered R-rated stuff, or at least deep PG-13. And you'd get them in PG movies.
Yeah.
You can find nudity back in the day. You can find a little more cursing and some bloodshed and stuff because they'd look at it and go, well, it's a little much, but it's not like R-rated much. It's not restricted much. So they keep it back there. Plus, between the studios and the toy lines, it's not like, I mean, today it's such an industry. There's communication. Now, a lot of people screw it up and companies do it wrong. It's not perfect by any means. But there's at least an attempt to make everything, you know, a franchise is holistic. It is not just a movie. It is a movie, a toy line, lunchboxes,
the merchandising,
events, whatever.
The merchandising thing was really created, I mean, when Lucas started with
Star Wars really was the whole industry.
Yeah, back at this point, it was such a young concept to have this tie-in thing that it's not shocking at all for a toy company and a movie studio to get together, decide to cross produce something, and one have no idea what the other actually was.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's not shocking at all to think that they marketed
Today it's not. Back then it was very shocking. I was about to say,
looking back, it's not shocking now to realize that they made a blunder like
That they made the mistake.
They didn't have the setup that they do now.
Right. Kenner just got done making a boatload of money off the Star Wars
setups. Yeah. You know, so anything set in space, they were going to try to capitalize.
Exactly. Like they just So Kenner was just like, oh, this alien movie is coming out. This could be our next big thing. Let's jump on this. We'll make some toys just like the Star Wars ones. And then, yeah, it turned out to be a blunder.
Yeah, the guy who greenlit that project probably thought it was Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah, most likely. Most likely.
What space movie? Let's make some toys.
I mean, gosh, it's even to the point where now we know that they were planning a 3¾-inch line that was exactly like their Star Wars line, but for the Kenner figures. And now those figures have finally seen release.
Yeah. Through Super 7.
Through Super 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this company, this smaller, kind of an indie toy company now, Super 7, got the original molds for these.
Well, the original prototypes.
The prototypes.
They made molds, new molds from the original prototypes. They took the prototypes apart, made molds carefully.
Yeah.
And they they released this wave of Kenner figures that never came out back in 79 like it was supposed to. So it's little, it's 4-inch, 5 points of articulation, just like
where
the old
stuff.
Where
do you even find those?
You have to order them online. We both have a set coming. We pre-ordered them. So.
I hope some of your pop culture listeners can relate to me, because all your toy listeners right now are just
like,
who's the bumpkin over on the side who has no idea what he's talking about?
John is very, like, he gets the pop culture thing, and like I've talked about before, you're definitely the movie buff of the group, and we're the toy guys. And so you're definitely aware of the toy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time it's me going, hey, John, look at this. And you're going, whoa, you know? So that's...
It was not quite 10 years ago, probably, that I stopped actively looking for stuff to collect. I'll still get a few things here and there now.
Right.
But it's like I used to have all... So it goes right back to the comic book thing we talk about sometime. Like, man, I got a lot of pent-up knowledge from this stuff. Sometimes I need to jog my memory.
Yeah, exactly.
When I think those figures are still available, you can go to like BigBadToyStore.com and still pre-order them through them. But I think they're much higher than they were.
Do you have to have money to get them?
Yeah,
I'm out.
I think they're like $150.
They're not cheap.
It's the whole set.
It's the full. It's five figures.
I about reached across this table and slapped you to vote.
It's
not even your fault.
They're pretty neat.
Thank God.
And it's what I like about it is it's such like a historical piece. It relates right back to the beginning of this whole topic that we're talking about today. It's a line that didn't happen because they realized, oh, this is probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
This is an R-rated film.
Yep.
But somewhere along the lines, it started being okay.
Oh, yeah. It became a thing.
Because 79, it was a little too much. But suddenly in the mid-80s, it was just like, why not?
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and start releasing these toys for kids that are based on movies that they can't even watch?
And it was the weirdest thing. I mean, where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the beginning with the very first one?
Well, what's the very first one?
The very first one would be Rambo and the Force of Freedom.
Oh, Rambo toys.
Wasn't that a cartoon?
It was. And that was the thing is here's a violent R, you know, at the time it was an R-rated movie, violent. You know, if anyone who's seen First Blood knows that it's that's not a kid's movie.
No.
But then they took that character John Rambo and Colonel Trautman from the movie and created this animated series around the character, adding in a bunch of different, you know, ethnic groups and stuff.
Yep.
You know. One of the main villains is I want to say he was Iranian, because at the time that was kind of the big thing in the 80s. And I remember that was one of those figures that came out that was really hard to find in the 80s, because stores would pull them because of all of the, you know, the Arab groups were like, no, no, you cannot do that.
So, with that voice?
Yeah,
Jason's getting all racist on the podcast.
Sorry. But no, that was...
Impressionist.
I'm impressionist.
But yeah, that was the first... I think that was the first major one to do it was Rambo. Because Coleco, for some reason, was like, hey, let's get into the action figure business. Hey, let's make action figures of this crazy cartoon that are based on this R-rated movie.
Yep.
Well, and again, my assumption is that goes right back to that same line of thought of they... You know, the people making the toys back then didn't always know what the people making the movies were doing, and vice versa. So they probably didn't even bother to look at the rating. They probably just went, oh, successful movie.
That we'll
make a cartoon and some toys out of it.
And that wasn't the case. The movie had come out, and somehow, some way, and I wish I could remember the company that actually animated the show, and I can't. It might have been Sunbow. I could be completely wrong. Somehow they decided, you know, this was during, you know, the big push of Saturday morning cartoons, where just about, you know, I mean, you had You had a Mr. T cartoon where he was walking, you know, traveling the globe with a group of gymnastics.
Yep.
You know, you had ridiculous stuff like that. You
everything mean, was a cartoon.
Everything was
yep.
a cartoon. So
everything.
Pro stars.
Yeah, everything.
So
was
suddenly
a
you had, you know, here's this Rambo cartoon, and Coleco's like, well, that looks like that could be a hit. Let's do toys off that. And it was, you know, it was mildly successful. It lasted, I think, almost three series. But the thing is they knew what they were making with this toy line, because if you've ever seen the toy line, they're pretty accurate weapons they come with, and a lot of them have accurate features. You know, one of the
so it's
one,
a military,
it's
toy,
a military
line.
Okay. Toy line.
You know, like G.I. Joe, but yeah. they're taller figures.
Yeah.
I mean, in the military, I mean, even that could be questionable as toys, but military toys have always been popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what I was getting to was, you look at all the toys and they look amazing, and they're still a great toy line, but then you look at the play set they released for that toy line. And suddenly you're looking at that going, I don't think that shouldn't have been made. Because I own the playset, and it literally looks like a a Vietnamese prison camp. Like, all bamboo. I mean, that's what it looks like. And you're
nice.
Like, I don't think that's good.
So it's one of those things, though, that little kids wouldn't really know.
Yeah.
You know, or they wouldn't put that together.
True.
That's just a cool playset to play with your military action
figures
on. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's really weird, too, because I think back from when I was a kid, and I never saw any of the Rambo films when I was a kid, but I certainly knew who Rambo was.
Yep.
And I certainly remember kids running around playing Rambo
yep.
on the
kids
playground.
Kids had the red headband.
Yeah, everybody
on.
Knew
yeah.
the red headband,
oh, yeah.
you know? I
yeah,
mean, that
absolutely.
Was a thing. So.
Well, and like I said, I mean, most kids back then would have probably seen that movie.
Well, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that right about the time the toys and the cartoon was out, UHF came out with Weird Al. And there's a huge spoof of Rambo in there
oh,
with
yeah.
Weird Al with the red headband.
Well, that wasn't until after, like, was that the third Rambo that came out right after? Because it did come around right around one of them, but it was into the sequels.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even have the red headband until the second Rambo, right?
Yeah, I think that's
he didn't wear
right.
the red headband in First Blood.
Yeah, he had
well,
a headband,
it was,
but it wasn't
see,
red.
It was First Blood and then Rambo,
Bro, First Blood Part 2,
and yep. then Rambo 3. So I always still wonder, where's Rambo 2?
Yeah.
Technically, it's not in there.
Yes.
You know? Rambo 3 should actually be Rambo 4.
Yeah.
You know? Which ended up just being called John Rambo, I think. So
John Rambo.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
But I mean that was one of those things, you know, and I think around that same time you had the Max FX doll come out, which
oh,
was
the Max FX,
which originally was created by Mel Bernkrant, who created the Outer Space
the
Man,
Outer Space Man
from the '60s, which was a huge thing in the '60s and has come back now thanks to the Four Horsemen. But
so many things have come back. It's
yeah,
crazy.
So many things. Have come
I love
back.
The Outer Space Man.
But the Max FX doll was literally they took. An old, unused Mego body with a new head, which Mego was a huge company in the 70s, as we filled John's toy knowledge in here.
Well, and anybody that's listening that doesn't
listening.
Know. Yeah.
They released this 12-inch Mego body with a new head sculpt, and basically what it was supposed to be a special effects guy, and the only one that was ever made was he came packaged with a costume for Freddy Krueger. So you could actually take his clothes off, put Freddy's outfit on him, put the gloves and the hand on him, and put the head on him and the hat, and you could turn that figure into Freddy Krueger.
Oh, hilarious.
Yes. And you can guess how long that lasted.
Yeah. But thinking back on it, that's another, you know, genre right there, the horror genre. Freddy and Jason were huge in the 80s.
Yep.
And that's another set of movies that
yep.
I didn't watch when I was a kid.
Yeah,
but I certainly
yeah.
knew exactly who they
yep.
were.
And you knew kids who watched them, and they
mm-hmm.
were still kids' Halloween costumes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
I remember,
were, yeah.
I remember like, the squirt balls in
yep.
the stores
yeah, exactly.
that had, like, the Freddy and
yeah,
Jason
they'd have
faces.
Those gross little faces.
Yeah.
And they, yeah. They had all
so,
that stuff.
I mean,
yeah.
they marketed all that stuff.
Yeah.
towards kids,
yep.
even though that wasn't a kid's movie. It's
yeah.
it's a really, really weird thing.
A lot of that kind of stuff ties into the fact that Madballs were popular at the time, so they were taking
mm-hmm.
anything gross and disgusting and disturbing they could
mm-hmm.
and making it some kind of
And they did
ball.
Have all the Garbage Pail Kids.
Garbage Pail
like
Kids
that.
Was another,
yeah,
yep, big influence.
Another, yeah. So anything yep. that they could that was ooey and gooey and icky and they could
and
get
Freddy
towards kids,
and Jason
exactly like you said,
fell
they fit right,
right
into
that
mold,
yeah.
yeah.
It was crazy.
And that was one of those... It was another one of those things that I own that you look at now and go, I don't understand how this could have been such a big thing. But it was such a huge thing when it came out in the 80s. Parents just revolted. And the fact that I think a lot of toy stores didn't know what to do with it. So the reason, I think the main reason parents were finding it is because since it was doll-sized, a lot of the toy stores were stocking it with like near the Barbie dolls and stuff. because that's
amazing.
That's what it was. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, yeah. It's a doll size.
It's a doll with a costume that you put
basically.
On it.
I mean, so they didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't put any action figure out because technically it wasn't really an action figure.
Yeah.
And that caused moms buying Barbie stuff to go, "What in the heck is this?
Why is Freddy Krueger in this aisle?
Why is Freddy going after Barbie? This is ridiculous."
Oh man, that's just hilarious.
But I think that was the start of, you know, you go from Alien to Rambo to that Max FX doll, and you see this trend starting that carried on into several other properties, which I think are pretty spectacular.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. All of these movies that produce these toy lines that maybe shouldn't have been directed towards kids, a lot of them ended up being really good toy lines.
Oh, yeah, I know they were amazing
and
toy
they
lines.
Ended up, some of them ended up being really, really popular. And I was always one of those kids, like, my parents were pretty strict with me as far as, like, the ratings on movies go. So when I was young, I wasn't allowed to watch rated R movies. I couldn't even watch PG-13 movies until I was 13. That's just, I mean, you know.
Loser.
I'm not saying my parents were bad or parents or anything, but that's, you know, they were a little protective of me. I'm not saying that I didn't watch that stuff when I, you know, had the ability to. But part of the problem is that because these toys were based off of rated R movies, I wasn't allowed to have these toys. And there were several instances where I would see a figure and I'd want it, or I'd see commercials for these toys and I'd ask for them, and immediately my dad would be like, "No.
Yeah.
You can't. No, that's, they shouldn't even have toys of that." Like, he was very aware. You know, I'm sure that there was a lot of parents out there that just had no idea.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
He was very aware.
I can promise you that.
Yeah, and he was very aware when there was a line of toys that was based on a movie that I shouldn't be watching. And so, no, I wasn't allowed to have those. And the one that I specifically remember is the Predator line.
Yes.
Because they would always show the commercials for the Predator, and they was always Predator and Alien, because that Kenner line really kind of started that whole Alien versus Predator thing. Like, that's where that whole thing started, was from those toys. You know, they were, Kenner had the license to
license
both of them,
both. Yeah.
And they started billing, like, those, they had those commercials where, like, the Predators were hunting the aliens and they were doing all that stuff. And I still remember to this day seeing the commercial for the mail away Predator, which was the invisible one.
Yeah, the stealth one.
And I wanted it so bad.
Do you remember if those toys came out before or after the second Predator movie?
Came out after.
After?
Yeah.
Because
they used, the commercial used clips from, I think, from both Predator movies at one time, of the Predator, like, doing poses and stuff. They would intersperce these
live action clips. And I don't know if this is coincidence or if that's where the toys got the line, the idea either or whatever, when they started mingling them. But they did that tease in Predator 2 when
Danny Glover goes on the ship
and they're going through the different skulls trophies he's got,
and there's a
they have one that looks like a xenomorph.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, we're jumping around into Alien. I mean, Alien is really starting. I mean, that started. You know, Kenner brought that line out, and for years and years, people thought, why in the world was there an Alien toy line? There was not a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, why did this happen? And then I think, back in the days when we did that new toy smell, we did an Alien episode.
Yep.
And we talked about how there was no cartoon. It made no sense for this toy line to exist, since all these other toy lines based on R-rated properties had cartoons.
Usually had cartoons to accompany them.
This,
Alien and Predator didn't.
Alien
didn't. Predator didn't either, did
Yeah,
it?
No.
Flash forward to about a year and a half after we did that episode, and suddenly these images started to filter out, you know, on the internet. People started to discover, oh, there was a pilot for an Alien animated show that never went anywhere.
Really?
There's actually a pilot of an animated Alien show that uses all those designs they used in the cartoon. Actually explained why you had a scorpion alien and a gorilla alien. And all of these different aliens.
They did all those
weird... The cartoon
weird...
explained it, but we never got the cartoon.
That must have been a terrible cartoon.
nobody ever... Well, I don't think it's terrible. I still have yet to find someone with a full copy of it.
Well,
I've seen small clips and I've seen still frames of it. And I mean, it does exist. That's why Ripley looks the way she does. That's why Bishop in the toy line looks the way he does. So there was a cartoon that exists for that.
And I do remember that line being out, because I remember I thought it was the coolest thing when they had the little mouth inside the mouth.
Uh-huh. Yes,
and some of those
aliens
were just awesome. But I never watched the Alien movies at the time, so I only knew of them because they had pop culture influence.
See,
I'm watching other movies and paying attention, you'd know about stuff like
that. Yeah, and I'm the old dog in the room, because I was a freshman in high school when the Alien and Predator toys really started to hit hard. So
it was, I think, 93 is the Alien stuff, 94-ish was the Predator stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was still a few years away from high school at that point. I was probably, you know, I was still in a toy phase.
I think I'm a year or two behind you, Jason, and Dan, you're a couple years behind me. So we're right around that same.
But I remember it was region. Just, it was interesting. You know, we would walk, we would sometimes not take the bus home and just decide to walk. And it was a long walk home from where we went to school at. And, but there was a Zares. Well, Venture at that point, I guess.
Venture.
That was there. And we'd go into Venture after school and just walk up and down the toy aisles, and you'd see all these alien stuff. You'd see the Predator stuff. And it was just like,
Venture had a cool toy.
This stuff is so awesome. Venture
was a cool store.
My mom worked at Venture. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Represent
Venture. Yeah.
But I always found that interesting that, you know, that animated pilot, in that point, I mean, that's only been a handful of years ago that we did those shows. And, you know, the internet has been around so long and been such a big thing since, like, what, late 96, 97 is when it really kind of grew into basically what it is now. How that pilot set undiscovered for so long in this age of social media and internet where you can find just about everything, and then that suddenly just pops up. Because I think somebody in Argentina found a VHS copy of it.
That's like, amazing. I'm always amazed by the things that pop up sometimes. That's awesome. I love that. But that line, yeah, see, that's one of those lines that I really wish I would have gotten a chance to really experience more when I was younger. Because now that I'm a collector, it's kind of become one of my goals to, like, collect all of them.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's just like, I couldn't have these as a kid. Now I want them kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I've bought most of the Aliens and Predators at this point.
Every time you find some of those in, like, a lot at a convention, as you're paying the guy for them and collecting them in, do you scream, how do you like it now, Dad?
Well, I always look over my shoulder to make sure he's not watching. Him,
you would freak if you looked over and your dad's just standing there, just goes, like, in the shadows.
No. Those aren't kids' toys.
Fades back.
Dad, I'm 31.
I disapprove, Daniel.
I've seen these movies
numerous times.
Pixel Daniel. Put those down.
Yes, Pixel Daniel. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
That's such a great toy line, though. You said, even today, I mean, I picked up a few of them here and there. You know, one of the recent ones was a boxed Alien Queen Hive playset.
Oh,
which
I still
is
want that playset.
Such a cool playset, because that Alien Queen's so neat. There's such a neat figure.
That's one thing that's really cool about those lines too, is like, they weren't necessarily movie. I mean, like, they made all those funky versions of both the Aliens and the Predators, and they weren't really movie accurate, but there sure was a lot of detail in everything. For that era, like, you just didn't see that type of detailing on these figures. So that's just, that line's awesome.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous line. Even today, it's a beautiful line.
It's really weird thinking how Kenner was kind of like the king of the R-rated toy lines.
Oh, yeah.
Because they you know, they were the ones that tried to do the Alien line in the 70s.
Yes.
And then came back with Alien and Predator in the 90s. But that's not all they did. There were several lines that Kenner did that were all based off of movies that weren't necessarily...
I mean, in my opinion, they're all amazing lines. I mean, other people will disagree with me. But in my opinion, they're all pretty spectacular
Kenner
toy
was
lines.
Awesome
in that
era. Yeah,
it's
the
whole
era.
Company. Everything they did was pretty great.
So, RoboCop is another...
Oh, I love RoboCop. RoboCop was...
It's another line that Kenner did.
Such an amazing, fun toy line. Because that was... That was along the line, John may remember this very, you know, when you were a kid, you may have remembered a lot of this, you know, when RoboCop showed up, at the time, there was a lot of cap gimmicks on stuff. Yep. You know, you had cops and crooks, and all their guns had, you put the little caps in and pull the spring back and then click it, and it, you know. RoboCop was the same thing. Every figure had a backpack that opened up, and you could put a roll of caps in it, and then boom, boom, boom.
It was awesome.
It was amazing.
Like Thunder Punch He-Man.
Yes, like Thunder Punch. Well, different caps.
Except
though.
He had the cap rings.
Yes.
But yeah, my favorite one from the RoboCop line was always the glow-in-the-dark one. The Nightfire RoboCop, I think, was his name.
Yeah. Which is sad, because we both own that figure, I think, on card and loose, and I can remember what
I'm pretty
name
sure it's
is.
Nightfire RoboCop. And I don't know. He was glow-in-the-dark, and, you know, I've always had a weird fascination with
glow-in-the-dark
toys
and
translucent
toys.
And, I don't know. It was really cool, but I never...
And mosquito toys.
And mosquito toys. Yes. That's true. That's true. Never had any other RoboCop stuff, though, as a kid.
No?
And it's not really one of those lines that appealed to me when I was younger, but it's definitely one that I've picked up now that I'm a collector, you know. But it's a fun line, too. It's another really good one.
Yeah, it's an amazing line. And I think that goes back to me being the old dog in the room, is that, you know, I grew up, you know, born 77, and you hit 81, 82, and suddenly it's like I'm in the heyday of... of the toy aisles, and it's all of these lines, except for like the alien stuff, I witnessed. You know, I saw firsthand in stores and had.
He lived through it all.
I did. I lived. I'm like the war veteran.
Well, I just did a quick internet phone search for Nightfire RoboCop just to see if you were accurate, and the first search that pops up, according to Pixel Dan on Blip TV,
yes,
it is called Nightfire. RoboCop.
Hold on, the first search result on Google is my review.
Yep. That's awesome.
Watch Kenner 1989 RoboCop and the Ultra Police Nightfire RoboCop review.
Victory. Yep. Victory.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic. I reviewed that vintage one at the same time I reviewed the NECA version. Again, just like I did with the Predators. That's awesome.
Here's what's funny, though, is that line had a lot of their vehicles had this. I can't think of what the form is. They didn't paint it, but it all is like this chrome finish on it. What is
back
that called?
Metal.
Yeah, thank you. I cannot back think metal. Of it for the life of me. They back metal a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I've got the RoboCop, the little motorcycle.
Yeah.
In front of it's back metal. 90% of those that you buy that are mint in box now, and even most that are loose, are pink.
Because the
back
picture.
Metal is just crumbled. It's just...
Oh, wow.
It's the...
He had an in-box one, and he opened it, and it was just all the shiny back metal had just crumbled off of it in the pieces.
And I opened it to look at it, because somebody was like, hey, you should really look at yours and see. And I'm like, well, I probably should. See if I can pull the picture up while we're talking here and show you to John. It's pretty.
You know, if you never would have opened that box, it would still be fine.
You no, never would have known.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
It would be back metal like crazy.
It was pretty bad. I was like, oh, this is not cool. I'm like, it's not a white plastic. It's pink.
The RoboCop line. Just to keep talking while you're looking. What year do you guys know? What year that came out?
RoboCop was.
I'm trying to place how old I was at the time.
88.
Was it that the
you
the,
think
the,
that
the movie or the toys?
The toys. The
was
movie
the toys that early.
The movie I think was 86.
And there
87.
Was a cartoon for RoboCop.
Yes, there was. Ultra Police.
Right? That short. Toy line was until the early 90s, and I thought that was the point where I was just getting into the not outgrowing that stuff by any means because, like
right.
I said, I still. Actively collected for another 15 years past that.
Right.
But I was getting to the point where sometimes when the movie versions would come out or movie toy lines would come out, and I think this is because I was transitioning to more of a movie guy than I was anything else at the time.
87.
But I'd look at some of those toys and I'd be like, yeah, you know, like it's nice that there are toys of these lines, but they don't necessarily look movie-centered enough
yes,
for me.
Yes, exactly.
And so if I wasn't actively always watching the cartoons, because I know I had some RoboCop toys, because they were cool-looking toys for the most part, but there was just a lot of things that would come out that I'd go, you know, I don't remember that scene, and I don't care.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think your line of thinking is shared with a lot of kids from that era, and I think that's why now... There are toys based on these 80s movies that companies like NECA are doing that are movie accurate stuff. Because a lot of us, when we were kids, we looked at stuff like this and go, that's not what it looks like in the movie.
Yeah.
So we all grew up, and those of us that became toy makers are now making the toys we wanted to have when we were kids.
That's what it looks like. It just looks like a spackling of blue.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
As we're looking at pink.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I have the helicopter from this line, too, mitten box. I have yet to pop that to see what it looks like.
No, it's fine until you open it.
The problem is I want to display the helicopter because it's really neat looking.
I wouldn't.
Make sure you send me that picture so I can embed it for everybody to see.
Yeah. So all you listeners out there, take a look at this.
They can see it at pixel-dan.com. Haha, come to the website.
You may have to pull it off Instagram because I don't think it's on my phone anymore.
Well, I'll get it somewhere. Yeah. I'll steal it.
Yep,
steal
it.
That was the thing, and that's the thing that It mashes up in my memory, and I can't remember exactly what. Because, again, I mean, if this came out in 87, I would have only been 7 years old. There's no way I even seen RoboCop by then. Not because I couldn't, because my parents weren't over-controlling monsters. But
I love you, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, just kidding, Mama Pixel Dan and Papa Pixel Dan. But when I was that young of a kid, I didn't want to see most of that stuff. Gore scared the crap out of me until I was in my early teens.
Yeah.
It was when Terminator 2 came out. Because I watched Terminator 2 and went, wait, that was amazing, because I was scared to see it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and went, now I have to go see all of these that I've ever not wanted to watch, you know?
That's funny, because Terminator 2 actually scared me.
Really?
The scene, the Judgment Day scene, where she has the vision and the schoolyard and everything. Yeah. That scared the crap out of me when I was a kid, and I saw that. Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
I had a very weird childhood then, because my parents, when I was four, was like, here, we're going to sit you down, and you want to watch this, we're going to explain to you that none of this is real. This is make-believe. This is a film. It's a movie. We don't want you, you know, they didn't want me scared of the dark because I was scared of E.T. when it came out.
Really?
Like, I had a little stuffed E.T. that scared the heck out of me.
I loved E.T.
I got locked in the closet. So they decided, well, let's go this route.
Yeah.
And let's just show him the worst thing we can show him. And at 4 years old, I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice.
Now we know.
Yep, you were the weird one.
Yep. Now we know what's wrong with
you.
But, I mean, the only horror movie that's ever scared me, and I was an adult when I saw it, was The Exorcist.
Oh, it's so scary.
The Exorcist
scared
the heck out of me.
That movie scariest movie ever made, hands down.
Yeah, that movie scares me.
I was like,
like, freaks me out.
I was like, I'm going to sleep with the lights on tonight and for the next
week. The first time I ever saw that was like 2 in the morning with, there was 4 or 5 of us. It was at a theater I worked at, which was old and decrepit and
Esquire?
Felt haunted anyway.
Was it when they did that re-release?
Yes,
when I saw it, too.
Yeah, but we previewed it when it was coming out, and so I watched it, and then everyone left, and I had to tear the film down because we weren't supposed to have it built up in the first place. And so I'm in this old, like, haunted building in the first place. I just saw that, and that was after they added the spider walk and everything.
Yeah.
So all that super creepy stuff was in there. I just wanted to die.
That's funny. That's the first time I saw that movie, too, was when that came out.
But, like, when I was growing up, like, my dad watched all the Terminator movies and the Predator movies, and I liked doing stuff with Dad, and I was allowed to sit there and watch those movies, especially if I was with him. That was fine. It's just they freaked me out, so a lot of times I didn't. And I remember going to see Terminator 2 solely because Dad wanted to see it, and I thought, well, if Dad's excited, I want to go, even though I don't really want to go. You know, and then by the time I got out of the movie, I'm like, I must find every movie that's ever had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
And why wouldn't
go for it?
Yes.
And at that point, you couldn't wait until Batman and Robin was made.
That was a long way away still.
But you knew it was coming.
Well, you know, you bring up
Mr. Freeze.
I felt it in my bones.
You bring up Schwarzenegger, and that's one I think a lot of people overlook, is the fact that they actually did make Conan toys. There was a very short-lived Conan line.
That Hasbro one? Are you talking about that Hasbro one?
No, the Hasbro one came in the 90s.
Because that was based on that animated series.
Is it considered overlooking it if you had no idea?
Well, I think it was Remco, because Remco was doing, at the time they were doing kind of knockoff lines for Masters. And they actually did release a figure named Conan that was based on Conan the Barbarian.
Well, and then there's always that long-standing rumor that the Masters of the Universe line was originally going to be a
Conan the Barbarian
line, but they didn't get the license, so instead they created their own thing, which became He-Man.
Yep.
That, of course, has still never been proven as fact, but that's been a long.
Never been disproven.
Yeah, it's never been disproven either.
Been
it's one of those like rumors that they always say, you know, Mattel tried to get a big, because they passed on the Star Wars license and they were kicking themselves for it. Mattel could have been the guys that did Star Wars.
Really?
And they passed on it, and Kenner went and did it and made a bajillion dollars. So Mattel was like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And they bought up a ton of properties immediately, and they all flopped.
Failed.
Every one of them flopped. And so they were like, we got to do something, you know, and that's when they created He-Man, and then that became a huge success.
And then it worked out fine.
Yep, then it worked out fine.
Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
It was all meant to be. There is a toy god out there.
Yes.
And he is benevolent.
And he gave us He-Man.
That's right.
And I'm happy.
Yeah, I love those Robocop.
GoBots. GoBots are a gift.
Oh, yeah, and GoBots.
GoBots
are a gift from God. Yes, they are.
Can we use the old Rugrats reference and say GoBots
Transformers are a gift from God? Right?
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll say GoBots are a gift from a Bob.
Bob. No, I like the GoBots better. We should change it.
No, you know what?
I'm getting my Clerks 2
references
mixed up.
You know what's really a gift from God is Rock Lords.
Rock Lords, yeah.
They were Rock
Lords! They were the GoBots.
That's not the right line.
No, that is Rock Lords! Rocks that come alive! That's the theme.
Yes.
But yeah, the RoboCop line was...
This podcast is getting out of hand.
Out of control.
Yeah.
I'll swing it back around there.
Yeah. Are we going to segue into a commercial from here? Because we're all losing it.
Well, the biggest part about most of those figures in the RoboCop line is that they don't hold their weapons. Like, some of them come with these two-handed, like, these two-handed weapons that are huge. But the way their hands are and the way those old Kenner figures sit and the way they've designed these weapons, like... They're top heavy, and you put the weapons in, and suddenly it's like you've got falling over figures, and they won't fit in their hands, and it's...
That was a Kenner thing.
Yeah.
The Predator line is the same way.
Yeah, they don't hold their weapons.
Because there's some of them, like the one I just recently reviewed, comes with this giant double-barrel rocket launcher, but both of his hands are open. And it's got handles on the bottom like he's supposed to hold it, but he doesn't hold it. So the way they got around it is they also made this clip. So it clips on his waist, and it looks like he's holding it. But he's not really.
Wow.
Also, it makes him top heavy, so he just falls forward. it's silly.
It's pretty
bad. I know what it's like to be top heavy.
You do have a large head.
But that was an era where, you know, they were making those toys for kids, so they had a lot of gimmicky weapons, and they always came with, like, rocket-firing guns of some sort and stuff like that.
Speaking of gimmicky weapons, I suppose you want to go to commercial, and we'll talk about one of the most gimmick-laden R-rated toy line.
That sounds awesome. Why don't we go and take a quick commercial break?
I can't wait to find out what it is. Oh. I'll stay tuned.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break.
Yeah, I'm doing Kermit arms.
I like your Kermit arms.
Thank you.
I'm just waving at the camera no one can see.
Right now. They will see it.
Someday.
All right, so right before we went to break, Jason was getting ready to talk about a very gimmicky toy line.
Oh, yes.
Based on a rated R film. What is this line, Jason?
Remember Police Academy?
I do remember Police
Academy. Yes.
And that is really weird because we even just had this discussion over the break. That's a movie that I don't really think about being rated R.
Well, yeah, because
the whole franchise dumbed down. Well, not it, dumbed. Well, definitely
it did.
Dumbed down.
Yeah. It did.
But,
it,
yeah,
that's
but
the right word.
Also calmed down. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
yes.
First one is a pretty hard R movie. I mean, it's very funny. It still holds up today. I mean, maybe the first three really hold up still. The rest of the franchise not that great, but like that first movie is still funny. It's still fun to watch.
Yeah.
And you watch that and go, they made a kid's cartoon on this and a toy line.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Yep. It's basically just a frat movie.
Yeah.
Almost, except in a different setting. They were just looking for reasons to make any of those, you know, like a group of young people go wild movies.
Yeah.
These just happen to be guys in the police force, you know?
You know, aside from a cartoon and toys, I still remember when we were younger, Six Flags in St. Louis had a police academy stunt show.
You know, I never saw it, but I remember always wanting to go to that.
I got to be a part of that stunt show.
Really?
I got to be the one of the guys they pull out of the audience.
He always volunteers for these things.
Oh, yeah.
Let you be Gutenberg?
No. I wish that would have been awesome.
Did you get to yell, Proctor?
I got to run out. You run out and you'd be in like, you know, they give you these clothes to wear and you run out and stand at attention. And then the guys playing Jones and Mahoney would, you know, Proctor's
boss.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Continue on with your story.
when he was the one that was like, you know, walking up and down the line. And when his back was turned, Jones and Mahoney would run up and would, you know, ran up, gave me a squirt gun and made me squirt the audience. And then he would turn around and see me squirting the audience and just go ballistic on me, screaming at me. And the whole thing was I had to take a pratfall. You know, they tried ahead of time. And it was around maybe some of the earliest days that we were wrestling that I went out there and it was around still.
Really?
Still around,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, still around there.
Wow.
Late 90s.
Yeah,
that was one of the first times publicly I actually like took a full back bump like
that would
on
have
the
been
stage.
That would have been like 99.
Yeah, 99 it was when we got the ring.
Yeah.
That's crazy that show was still around.
And
in
that was late 99. So Six Flags was already closed. This was after the turn of the century.
So they kept that show for that
forever.
Long
because
that show was
Harris,
advertised when
way.
I was a kid.
That was the last year. What was it?
Harris. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Lieutenant Harris.
So I got a cartoon and I got a toy line.
The cartoon and the toy line are not terribly great in people's eyes. The cartoon's not a good cartoon. It's very kooky.
It was the kind of toy line with like the, like, didn't it have the real goofy, like a raising hair stuff?
Yeah. Yes, it did. And it had, you know, I remember the Zed figure came with a little skateboard. He had a bobblehead, so his head bobbled. A lot of the figures had he had a bobblehead. And you'd hit a button and his pants would fall down to show his underwear.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
Man,
there
real
was,
zany stuff.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was a Tackleberry that had like a tactical vest and he had these two big guns that you squeeze his legs and his arms would raise. And he had a bobblehead, so it looked like he was like firing the guns.
Yeah.
Mahoney's figure had a nightstick and a gun and a squirting bulldog. But you'd squeeze Mahoney's hand and you could plug the nightstick or the gun into the hand. And you'd squeeze his leg and his hand would flip up and they'd spin. Jones squeeze his leg and his mouth would open like he's making noises, but he came with a kazoo, that you could blow into and go dur, 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 like that look like a bullhorn,
uh-huh.
and his walkie-talkie clicked. So you could click, 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 click.
Uh-huh. So you can make a bunch of noises with him.
Was this another Kenner line? This is another Kenner line, right?
Another Kenner line.
Kenner!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Another Kenner!
Kenner was on top of it, dude. They were like, rated R, we'll do a toy line. Whatever.
That was one of those
but
lines.
But these, I mean, this cartoon, if Zed was around, this cartoon didn't come around until like the fourth movie that I
think. Well,
he showed
Zed's
up in the second
around.
One and then joined the force in the fourth one.
Zed was
like
in the first movie.
Was he?
Yeah, he was
Bobcat?
He was in the first film. He was one of the bad guys in the first movie. And they knocked him down the stairs.
One, and then he joined later on. I thought it came later.
No, he was in pretty much most of them.
Jeez,
yeah. Up till the end.
I don't remember the Police Academy movies or Toy Line very much at all.
I love that Toy
like,
Line.
I remember the Toy Line vaguely, but my only experience with it is the stuff that you've
that I have.
Talking about it right now is really making me want to go and watch because I haven't seen Police Academy in 20 years.
I'd like to. This whole podcast is going to make me want to go sit down and watch a lot of these movies. That's what we're going to do, I think, coming up
but
soon.
The villains of that line were great because they had like Mr. Sleaze. Who had like a bow tie on, and he came with like this little poodle, like that had a leash that he could hold onto, and then you squeeze his hands, and he'll raise his hands like he's, you know, like somebody's got a gun, like a cop's got a gun pointed at him, but his tie flips up, and he's got a gun in his tie, and then he whips the poodle body off the dog, and it's this weird like dog like.
What?
One of the figures, I think his name's Numbskull, but he's got like. He looks like a cone head,
yep.
And you could attach a hammer and a drill to him, and you press his arm, and his head, like, rises up.
I'm just impressed you remember all the names, too.
Well, the thing is that that's one of those lines that just in the past couple of years now, I've gone back and tried to collect. So
he's been looking for those recently, so that's definitely fresh in his mind.
That's one of those toy lines, though, John, that...
Well, I'm still impressed.
You hear a lot of tales, and I'm sure you know this, too, that you know a lot of toy lines make it a series, two series, and then there's all these unproduced prototypes and stuff they show at the New York Toy Fair every year. And a lot of that stuff never hits. You never see. You just see prototypes. Yeah. Police Academy is one of those rare lines that the stuff they showed at the tail end of that, like... There were a number of vehicles, there were a number of smaller play sets, and a number of figures that they showed that never got released here. And just in the past maybe 3 or 4 years in Argentina, have they suddenly discovered warehouses full of this stuff.
Miraculously showing up.
Warehouses full of this stuff that people thought for years was unproduced. And suddenly here's all this packaged merchandise.
So can you get stuff like
that? Oh, yeah. It still pops up on eBay. And most of the time, it's really relatively affordable.
Excellent.
So it went from being, like, super rare or, like, non-existent to suddenly it's everywhere. Yeah.
So that guy holding on to the one that he had going, this is going to pay for my kids' college someday.
And that's, wah, wah, wah.
That seems to be the trend lately with a lot of these odd, you know, I've seen a couple of Masters Universe items that I didn't know existed that were reality. Like, there's a scuba gear set that... I know a mutual friend of ours, Brent Scarano, actually finally got a set, and he's got it on his Skeletor. But it's like this scuba tank that goes over the body, and it's got like this drill thing on it. He's got flippers, and it's
amazing.
It's really funky, and I'm like, I never knew that existed.
That's like one of those sets that came out the end, like the what are all those things called? But there was a bunch of different costumes that you put on the guys.
Yes.
The cliff climber,
yeah,
and stuff like
what
that.
What was that for?
That was Masters.
They did that for Masters.
But yeah, right towards the end, they came out with all these little like
gimmicky wind-up things.
I think I do vaguely remember that
because there was the jet sled, there was the cliff climber, there was just all these like they were
stilt
little like
stalkers,
the stilt stalkers, like they were just like a pair of stilts for He-Man guys for no reason whatsoever. But you find
that more and more with toy lines now. You look at a lot of the stuff, you know, at least a lot of a good portion of the stuff from the 80s that you look at. From Toy Fair catalogs and see unproduced stuff. And a good portion of that is now starting to show up overseas. Like, they're starting to find these warehouses that have just been untouched for, you know, sections.
That's awesome.
Because overseas, they don't have the same strict control that they would in our warehouses.
Yeah.
So there's just cases of this stuff sitting there. And people go digging through warehouses that have either closed or on the verge of closing, and they're opening boxes, and they're like,
what is this?
Holy crap.
Gold.
What is this? Cases of it, you know?
Amazing.
Just to stick with the Police Academy thing for another half a second, I did some real-time fact-checking. Bobcat showed up in the second one as Zed.
Was it? I thought he was in the first
one. Cadet Zed by the third one, and Officer Zed by the fourth one. So that means that that cartoon and toy line came around somewhere at least by the third or fourth movie.
Yeah.
And they had already progressed. Between 1 and 3, they had already progressed from R to PG-13 all the way down to PG.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And campy forward. So by the time the cartoon actually came out... it was kind of a campy product, yes. product, but it came from that R-rated roots.
Had R-rated roots. Yeah. Amazing.
Another one that I know is that Dan's a big fan of is another Kenner line that happens to be rated. I don't remember if it was rated R or not, but it was based on a comic book that is pretty strong R-rated.
I was going to say, that actually, it's a perfect plug into what we're talking about here. It definitely has R-rated roots. You're talking about the Swamp Thing, right?
And yes. I think Swamp Thing might have been PG-13.
Yeah, I don't remember if the movie was R or PG-13.
But during that era, that was the era of just the amazing writing on Swamp Thing. I mean, that was...
I was going to say, Swamp Thing's always been a very...
That had a good cartoon, too.
It did, yeah, with a terrible theme
apparently
song.
Apparently it was only PG... Well, it was 1982, though, so it was PG-13 still didn't exist, so it was PG.
Do you remember the theme song for that?
The theme song is actually Wild Thing... It just goes. Song Wild Thing. Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
You are amazing.
That was the theme
song. That's the theme song.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Play it now.
Don't actually play it. No, I won't. It's pretty spectacular.
Oh, man. But yeah, but those comics are always very, like, they're adult kind of, you know, themed comics.
Yeah.
So that I would definitely
bear in mind too.
That.
PG didn't necessarily mean kid movie.
Exactly,
it just
meant
that there wasn't any content that was unsuitable for a child to watch.
Right.
Not that a kid should go and hunt it out, you know.
But they definitely made a toy line. Kenner
yes.
again.
Kenner again.
Made
and
a toy
cartoon.
Line. Had a cartoon.
Yep. Yeah.
And the toys were a lot of fun. I actually did have
cool
some of
ones.
Those.
Yeah, I had a few of those.
I think I got away with having those. But, well, I mean, the movie wasn't rated R, so I guess you know. Plus, I just played with them with all my superhero toys, too, at the time. You know, they were definitely right there alongside my superpowers figures.
Well,
and
that's, you mentioned superpowers, and that's a great connection to that line because the snare arm Swamp Thing, and I believe that's the one, was actually supposed to be a superpowers figure before the line got canceled.
Yep.
That Swamp Thing mold was already done for the Kenner superpowers
line. Yeah, because Swamp Thing is a DC property.
Yes. Yes. Yep. He was supposed to be in the superpowers
line. Supposed
to
be in Series 3.
Is he
never
actual DC universe, like the standard... Is he in that same realm? Or?
Well, he used to be, and then it became when it went to the imprint, the kind of adult imprint that the name's escaped me now. It's
I know what you're talking
about. Well, but and like they just recently got the rights back to use him or something, right? Because that's the reason we got that action figure of him at Comic-Con 2 years ago.
Yes.
Is because he was off limits for a long time
for
some reason. I don't know the exact. Somebody out there will know.
I think it might have been. I know Alan Moore.
Is it because of Alan Moore?
Might have been.
Isn't that weird how that works sometimes?
Yeah.
Not to get too terribly off topic, but I remember when they did that live action Tick show on Fox.
Right.
Based on a cartoon on Fox.
Yep.
With some of the same creative talent, because Ben Edlund was still working on it and everything. And they couldn't use Deflator Mouse in the live action one because they didn't have the rights for it.
Yeah.
So they had to change it to Batmanwell. Despite the fact that it was the same studio, same creator, same property, everything.
Yeah.
I still never. I mean, I'm sure I could look it up pretty easily, but I never did understand that.
She
one.
Also
like,
also
rights are weird.
It also
sometimes.
Wasn't American made. It was like
what was her name?
Was it
U.S. something, I thought? But
I don't know. I was just watching that on Netflix the other day. I love that show.
Cartoon, live action, they're all great.
They're so good. The Tick is so great.
But the Swamp Thing stuff, though, for Kenner, that's another one of those lines that I gravitate towards because I always seem to be collecting the lines that you know, the little engines that could... Just never couldn't, you know. They just couldn't make it that.
They
long.
Just weren't.
They could. They just didn't.
Yeah. Well, like they made a cool amount of toys, but they felt, you know, like they didn't really blow up and get huge. And I'm with you because I'm the same way. I love all those. It, you can almost consider them obscure lines because nobody really thinks about them as much these days.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like they were cool lines,
they were all over the place, but they weren't always. I mean, kids weren't buying every one that came to shelves. They were just kind of there.
They were there,
and when you had your Star Wars figures that you bought cases for, and you carried them around, and you took care of them, and you put them up when you were done with them, and then you had your Police Academy RoboCop figure that you played with, and then they were just kind of there.
Yep.
So people didn't take as good a care of them.
Exactly.
They didn't care quite as much, so they disappeared a little faster. They're just not on the forefront
of
everybody's mind.
They were those kind of lines, too, that you would get, like, one or two figures from.
Exactly.
You know, like, when it came to, like, stuff like Masters of the Universe, I had the entire collection. But when it came to Swamp Thing, I think I had, like, two Swamp Thing guys.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that. You know, I wasn't, like, begging my mom to buy me more Swamp Thing toys.
Like, you need every Luke Skywalker that comes out. You don't actually need seven Swamp Things.
Yeah.
Two Swamp Things.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's another really fun line, and they made several versions of the Swamp Thing character, but they also had all those cool villains. All the Unmen were really cool figures, and they all had those really cool, like, rubbery bug heads that would plug on
them.
I don't know if you remember that.
They all glow in the dark to a degree, too. So they have these huge heads that you can plug on top of them that really make those unmanned really, really cool.
It was like mutating them, basically. You know, like they were regular guys, and then you'd plug on these cool, like, bug heads. Yep. And then they had these. It was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's.
And they had fun play sets for it and vehicles. It was just a really fun line all the way
around. I always remember just seeing the vehicles in the stores, being like, that is thing is crazy.
The swamp buggy and stuff like that. Yeah, those are
that's
fun.
That's one of those lines now that I think is starting to become more and more collected, along with like the Police Academy. You see prices, you know, there was a mail away for Police Academy that was Commandant Lassard that until recently was easily in the $300 to $400 range just for that mail away figure.
Wow.
Because nobody sent away for them. They were so rare. And then that's another case of someone overseas literally found cases
of them,
of them that had never been shipped out. And now you can get them for like $100. So which is still
is that all?
Still kind of pricey. It's still kind of pricey. But I've seen them in the past 6 or 8 months go for even less than that. I've seen several sell for $35-$40 that come with the shipping box and everything. So
that's crazy.
They're flooding the market. But you know, that was another one where you had late run figures like you had House. You had Sweet Chuck. You know, those figures are really, really hard to find. Was his name House? It was the this is gonna sound really bad. No, it was the little fat the fat black kid. He was in the later movies.
Yeah,
I think it was House. He was just a big black guy, but they made a toy of him.
You're not thinking of Thudbutt from Hook?
No, they made Thudbutt too.
That's the guy!
But, well, that
he was hard to find in the Hook line.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I was there when you got one.
Yeah, you were with me when I found one.
The House figure's
cool,
though.
I'll stop covering my mouth now while I'm talking.
The House figure's cool, though, because his gun is actually a donut.
Oh, so funny.
I want a donut gun.
You know, I mean, that's one of those things. Like, and with the Swamp Thing stuff is, you know, they just... The second series of that line has become so hard to find now. You know, I start seeing a few more of them here. Like there was there's one that throws a net, a Swamp Thing that throws a net that's part of the second line, as well as I think there's a camo one that's part of the second series. But I think it was just like three figures that came out the second series. But it seems like more and more people now, as we get older, are suddenly seeing the value in these, especially these R-rated toy lines. And the prices have started to skyrocket in just the last couple of years. I mean, you know, the Rambo stuff now for, you know, some of the tail end figures that only came out overseas are $500.
Wow.
Figures.
That's crazy.
Packaged, loose, they're $100, $200. A lot of those characters are just are really difficult to find.
What's the one figure that I really want from the Rambo line? Is he's so hard to find. He's the one that's got the dome over
his
head.
He
looks like Two-Face underneath the mask
because
he's got one half of his face is like melted.
Yeah.
And he's got this awesome dome. He's a very cool looking figure, but he's freaking expensive.
Really?
He was one of the overseas figures that only
came
out overseas.
I just remember he's one of those guys that we saw at C2E2 this past year. Like
on card.
Somebody had one carded.
Yeah.
At their booth that they wanted several $100 for. And I was just like, why? I just want the toy, and
yeah.
I want to open him, and I want to put him on.
I had the foresight because I was overseas during part of this stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You should have bought all that stuff up. Go back in time.
Yeah, okay.
No.
If I could go back and tell my younger self one thing, it would be, hey, find that guy who looks sort of like Two-Face. In the Rambo line, you know him. Get him, dude.
Get him.
$400 or $500 easy.
Yeah. Don't open him. Just sit him on the shelf.
It's the one thing that
scares
him. And then you'd be $400 or $500 richer.
That's
right.
Yeah, you'd be like, I got $400.
Yeah. You know what? I might not have saved the world, but I'd have a PS4.
That's true.
Yes.
That
priorities.
Very good logic, John.
So another one that I want to talk about. And this one's not even an R-rated line, but we just talked about Swamp Thing, and that was a PG movie. This particular movie was only PG-13, but definitely wasn't necessarily directed towards kids.
What I was about to bring up?
I'm bringing up Beetlejuice.
Okay, then no.
It's not? Okay. So we'll talk about Beetlejuice first, because, first of all, I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite, like, Halloween kind of movies now.
That is finally nearing a sequel.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
they're doing a sequel, I guess. But I love Beetlejuice. It's one of those movies I always try to watch every year at Halloween time.
Yeah, and that's one of those movies.
Love it.
I've been craving Beetlejuice for like 4 years, and I just haven't sat down to watch it. But
really?
I'm like, man, I gotta watch Beetlejuice again, and that's
so
been on my mind forever.
I think my favorite way to watch that movie is edited for television, because the nice effing model line turns into "You're missing a good game here."
Yeah, that's so weird, right? I love.
Oh,
beautiful.
We need to do an episode on TV edits.
Yeah,
because we can fill 2 hours with that.
Yeah.
Easy.
So Beetlejuice did end up getting a cartoon eventually, which was a lot different from the movie.
Yeah, but it was fun.
But it was fun. Yeah. And I did watch that.
That was on Fox around the same time that the Batman animated first came out.
Yeah. Yep. So that was quite a bit after the movie, right? Because the movie came out
late 80s. It was before the first Batman movie.
Yeah.
It would have been 87.
Because that's why Tim Burton wanted Michael Keaton, because they had worked on that together.
So there was quite a gap between that movie and that cartoon. And when the cartoon was out, I was watching the cartoon. I really liked it. But I remember when the movie came out, it got a line of toys from guess who? Kenner.
Shortly after the movie, I think
Kenner made a line. They were movie based toys.
Based on the movie. Yep.
Because
I only remember the cartoon based ones. I think
they had an Adam Baitlin figure that you could move his head down his arm and put that mask on.
Yep.
Oh, I thought those were from the cartoon.
Nope, they never made a toy line based on the cartoon. They made Happy Meal toys based on the cartoon.
That's crazy. Then
they never made
that
a toy
means
line.
My memory has been backwards the entire time.
I think a lot of people when they think of the Beetlejuice toys, they relate to the cartoon, but they were definitely based on the movie. And it was really fun because, like, the
first Alec Baldwin figure.
Yes. There you go.
There you go.
The first wave or so was more movie-centric, but then when they got into the second wave, it got very real Ghostbusters.
Yes. Yep.
Because they just started creating all these crazy,
monsters
and ghosts.
I remember the Shrunken Head guys they had and stuff, too, because I had him.
Well, that was one of the big gimmicks. They all had, like, a lot of them had removable heads that had a tiny head underneath,
if you remember. That's right,
Because there was a Beetlejuice like that, too.
Well, and like you said, the second series, I remember one of them was, like, a hillbilly farmer that transformed into a vulture.
Yeah. They were all very, like, they seriously, Kenner was also doing real Ghostbusters at the time. They could have crossed over. Yep. They were, like, the same toys.
And it would have been the most epic thing ever.
Well, Ghostbusters versus Beetlejuice?
Because I hope the sequel to Ghostbusters is the... Or the sequel to Beetlejuice is the sequel
to
Ghostbusters.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned that, and
amazing would that be?
I remember right before The Mummy opened at Universal Studios Florida, they actually had the Ecto-1 would come through the crowd, the Ghostbusters, and they would fight Beetlejuice. They actually would fight Beetlejuice, and they'd have this big kind of, like... It was almost like this little show, but it was Beetlejuice that they were fighting.
That's cool.
And he would always get the better of them and make them dance and sing and stuff. And
that makes total sense.
But it happened.
Absolutely.
He's a ghost.
Absolutely.
But the reason I specifically wanted to bring this up, even though, I mean, because it wasn't an R-rated movie, but those toys came out based on that movie. And it was another one of those toy lines that my dad didn't really want me to have the toys of because he didn't think that movie was appropriate for me.
Dude, you got to calm this down, dude.
I'm sorry.
This whole episode's going to turn into therapy.
I know.
Tell me about your faucet.
I feel like I'm making my parents sound terrible, but they're not,
I swear.
They're
really nice people.
No, but I just remember specifically my birthday that year, probably, those toys came out. You know, when you were a kid, you used to have birthday parties where all your friends from school would come over and you'd have parties.
For your birthday, did your dad give you 1 hour of Beetlejuice?
Yeah. No. But one of my friends from school bought me a Beetlejuice action figure. And I thought it was awesome. It was the one with the swords.
The skewers?
The skewers that you could stick through the Beetlejuice all through his body and everything. So I thought it was awesome, and I opened it, and I played with it. And, well, as soon as my dad found out I had it, he took it from me, and he took it back to the store.
What?
Yeah. So I wasn't allowed to have the Beetlejuice toy that I had already been given.
But it wasn't R-rated.
I know. So that's just – that always springs to mind when I'm thinking about these types of toy lines because for whatever reason – the Beetlejuice toy line was inappropriate for me, even though I had a ton of Ghostbusters figures, by the way. And
which was the same rating. Which are, well, was that PG?
It was
PG.
PG, yeah.
Okay.
And also I watched the real Ghostbusters cartoon long before I knew there was even a movie in existence.
Oh, really?
But yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, I loved that cartoon, and it was one of those things where one day I went to the video store and I went, is this a Ghostbusters movie? And then I rented it and watched
I was an army brat. And when we were moving to the U.S. the first time, I had been a couple of times when I was too young to remember back and forth. But the first time I was moving, I think I was 7 when I moved here to Springfield.
Right.
And loved Ghostbusters, the movie. And I remembered kind of freaking out because I didn't want to leave all my friends and my grandparents and everything I knew over there. And I didn't want to come so far away and all that stuff. And I remember my sisters telling me that it's okay when we get to the States, they have a Ghostbusters cartoon there. You know?
that's one of the things, let's go.
Okay, maybe it'll be fine.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
That's awesome.
So that's why Beetlejuice is on my list, though. Well, and I really like that line, too.
Yeah, no, that's
a fun toy line.
That is a very short-lived Kenner line that had some... we talk about on the Dave and the Ball podcast, and we've talked about it with you in the past on there, that, you know, we know a guy named Fred who was a toy dealer who we've gone and bought a lot of toys from.
Yeah.
And one of the last times we all went together to buy, we were digging through some of his boxes, and I came across something from Kenner.
John was with us there.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you were with us. Yeah, that was that Beetlejuice mask.
Yep.
And that has become the most fun thing.
You've got the Beetlejuice mask, and I found the Beetlejuice ghost finder.
Yes. I'm surprised you're not wearing it right now.
I know, right? Well, it makes me itchy.
Because I found that little ghost finder contraption.
Yes.
It looks like the little skeleton hand, and it's got like the Beetlejuice stripes on it, and it's got a weird little dial on it. It's crazy. Yeah, we both found Beetlejuice.
And that
toys.
Wasn't cartoon-centric either?
No.
No, those are movie based. Crazy. Because the box art... The box
it's
art
almost like they made the cartoon out of the toys.
Yeah.
Well, the box art on the mask is Keaton.
It's the Keaton one. Yeah, for sure.
Crazy.
It's, oh man, see,
the
stuff.
Thing I was going to bring up, which again, it wasn't R-rated, but it also definitely wasn't really for kids because it was a pretty violent flick, was those Prince of Thieves toys.
Oh, the Robin Hood.
Oh, the Robin
Hood
toys.
Yeah. Guess who made those?
Kenner. That was my guess. Yay. But yeah, because I remember, and it was the Swamp Thing that I think it was around the same time, because that's what made me think of it, because I remember having those two.
They
I remember
were
having
around
that
the same time.
Christian Slater toy that had the little crossbow that it came with.
Yep.
You know, and they all had the bow and arrow little toys and stuff, and I thought those were... I didn't love the figures. I liked them fine, but I wasn't full out in love with like the molds or anything. But the weapons and accessories were like some of my favorites.
And you're going to say the same thing I'm about to say. Yep. So many things in that line were reused from other Kenner lines.
Oh, superpowers. Like,
a lot of the bodies were from the Superpowers figures.
Star Wars.
The Friar Tuck's body is the Gamorrean guard from Star Wars.
Wow. The head for the evil prince in that. What's his
the
name?
The sheriff, you mean?
Yeah, the sheriff.
Alan Rickman. Yeah.
Yes, the head for that is reused off their RoboCop line.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Sherwood Forest playset is just a reuse of the Ewok village.
Well,
hilarious.
That's not the only thing. The Bolo that they sold was from Ewoks.
Oh, yeah, all the vehicles and everything.
The battle ram they sold, Ewoks.
So that line was straight up like, we could just reuse everything we already have and cash in. Yeah.
Frankenstein toys. Yep. Well, they still had cool bow and arrows.
The body for Robin Hood is a Superpowers Green Arrow. The body for Little John and the Dark Warrior is a Superpowers Hawkman.
The Superpowers were slightly bigger than those.
No, they're same size.
Same scale.
Okay. Yeah.
Same scale. Yeah, that's actually kind of why that line's so fun to collect, I think. Because it's just it's a hodgepodge of all those other lines.
And our pal
it's
Dave.
An amalgam of different figures.
Yeah. Amalgam. Our pal Dave actually has a section of the Robin Hood figures with like Star Wars, like he's got the Gamorrean Guard and the Friar Tuck
standing next to each other. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. Amalgam.
That's a nice inside joke for the podcast.
Yep.
Amalgam.
Yep. Thanks.
Duvall said that once and meant it.
Yeah.
Instead of amalgam.
Boy, did I.
Yeah. Amalgam.
Yeah. Nobody ever explained to me how to pronounce that word. So I just thought it was amalgam. Turns out it's amalgam.
Phonetics.
Yes.
So has any of these lines that we've mentioned come from any company besides Kenner today?
Wait, yes. Actually, there is one that we haven't mentioned that we haven't
all
got
right,
to.
All right, good. Let's talk about somebody not Kenner that did this.
There is a line. Everybody knows Playmates.
There we go.
Ninja Turtles.
I know, yeah.
And for some reason,
at
the time when Ninja Turtles came out, are you okay? At the time when Ninja Turtles was huge, like every company, including Playmates, tried to recreate the phenomena that was Turtles. So you had Hasbro doing Bucky O'Hare figures. Kenner did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure figures that tie in to that style of Ninja Turtles. They're hunched over, they're crotched.
I need to see those too. Yep. I've never seen
those. Everybody was making toys that looked like Turtles.
You know, Playmates, Star Trek, The Next Generation line. Actually, their entire Star Trek line from Playmates was based on that style. You could put them next to Ninja Turtle figures and they look like they would mix. Street Sharks.
Stone Protectors.
Yep.
All these crazy lines.
Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
Yep. All these crazy lines.
One of them, though, that actually comes from a film that I want to say, I don't think it ever got a real R rating because it was such an independent film. It might have been.
No, it wasn't rated at all.
I think it was unrated.
Yeah, I know
unrated.
What you're going at, yeah.
Was the Toxic Crusader.
Yep.
Well, it was the Toxic Avenger.
It was, Trauma.
Trauma
I don't think
it.
Trauma ever bothered to go to the MPAA
because
they were like, we know what we're getting.
Because movie is filled with nudity and sex and the most gratuitous violence.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
you'll ever see, because that's what Troma does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their shtick.
Yeah, Troma's over the top.
Yeah, they're over the top. Yeah. So that movie is absolutely.
And that
not
was
a
another one.
Movie.
Did the cartoon come first or did the toys come first?
Both. The cartoon and the toys came out the same time.
I had never seen the Toxic Avenger, but I was old enough to know what it was and how bad it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was a cartoon on
Toxic
going,
Crusaders.
What is that?
They changed
Toxic
it.
Crusaders.
Yeah, they changed it to Crusaders because they thought Crusaders was more heroic than. Yep. An Avenger or whatever, you know, a Toxic Avenger.
Joss Whedon showed them.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I just want to know, like, who watched Toxic Avenger and said, this would make a great cartoon in
kids'
life.
The kids are going to go crazy.
Yeah, like, how did that even come about?
I have no idea.
I mean, they're the ones that created the animated show. They didn't license that out to anyone. They created that show.
Man.
Because they released,
it must be nice to be insane.
They released a box set that's what's his name? Is his name Kaufman?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The guy, the head guy.
They released a box set that's Toxic Avenger 1, 2, and 3, and then there's a bonus disc that is the complete series of Toxic Crusaders.
How many episodes is that run?
13.
Which would
is that
be
all?
Which would be one season, right?
It's not good.
That's probably terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Look.
I remember liking that show.
There were video games.
Yeah, there was video games.
They weren't good.
No, they weren't good.
But then Playmates gave us that toy line, and it's a good toy line.
Oh, it's an amazing toy line. Yeah. It's beautiful.
We were just talking about how Beetlejuice and Ghostbusters could go hand in hand. Toxic Crusaders and Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
You can't tell the difference between the toys.
No.
They
what
look
was
like
guy
they're
with the big nose called?
Nozone.
Nozone.
Nozone, yeah. Yep. I remember
Nozone. There was Nozone. There was Junkyard, who was his big dog. There was Dr.
Junkyard Dog?
Yeah, there was Dr. Psycho.
J-Y-D.
Psycho. There was Dr. Kildare, I think. Kilgore? Something like that. I can't remember all the names off the top of my head.
Wasn't it just like...
You just remembered most of
Doctor,
them.
Yeah. Wasn't it like Kill-Em-Off or something
Dr.
like that?
Dr. Kill-Em-Off. Yeah.
Kill-Em-Off or Kill-Em-All, something like that. He was the one with the four arms,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Oh, he's awesome. Yep. And I really liked the glow-in-the-dark skeleton guy, too, whose name I can't remember right now. That's a great line, too. I've got most of those now.
Yeah, those were really cool toys.
And they were, like, well-made, and they came with a lot of accessories. Yep.
And
like you said, they ran so close to the Ninja Turtles, which was such a cool line, too. It just,
they looked like mutants from the Ninja Turtles
absolutely.
Line. I mean, because I had a few Toxic Crusaders toys as a kid, and they were in the same box.
Toxic.
They were in the same box as my Ninja Turtles, and, you know, they just went right along with them. They were the same toys as far as I was concerned. But yeah, that is a line that's out of everything we've talked about. That's got to be the most bizarre franchise to get a line of kids toys.
Because most of these movies were at least mainstream stuff. This was like...
This was not mainstream
at
all.
This was not...
This was cult classic.
Yeah, exactly.
This was very much cult classic.
Like, you had to go out of your way to find it, and if you were a kid who watched it, there was something probably, you know, immediately switched off in your brain.
Well, but I mean, to be fair,
parents would have went nuts.
To be fair, like the Toxic movies, like the Toxic Avenger, like Danny said, is very sex laden, very gratuitously, you know, very very violent. But then as you go on, they became almost like Police Academy. They became very campy goofy.
They got really purposely goofy, but they still were filled with sex and violence.
I mean,
they never toned down the sex.
I mean,
and violence.
the second movie, he goes to Japan to find his father.
That's the third one.
Is that the third one?
It's ridiculous.
That's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
So those are on Netflix.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I found them on there, so I was like, I'm gonna watch these because I had nothing else going on. I watched all three of them back to back, and
nothing else going on.
I know, right?
Well, you know what? Actually, when it was the day I got my new laptop because I had to sit there all day and transfer files.
Oh,
so all I was doing was setting up my new laptop. So I turned on the Toxic movies.
Yep.
But one of the things that's really funny about the versions on Netflix is I think they came off of the Laserdisc releases. So there's like this bonus footage that's attached to the movies. It's like a little introduction that's in front of all the movies that's got that guy.
Yeah, it's got cough. Yeah.
So I think it was in front of the third one. They did this ridiculous skit with that guy. And like there was a guy dressed like Toxie and he was like all hoboed out and he was like on a street corner like a bum or whatever.
Yeah.
And they made some joke like, what are you doing out here? And like the whole joke was that His deal with the Playmates toy company was over, so he didn't have any more money. Yeah. And so he didn't have any more toy money, so he was panhandling and stuff. And I was just like, this is amazing. like that is just, that's hilarious.
What's amazing about Kaufman is that he's got such this self, he's got this, he makes fun of himself so much. I think just this last year, Angry Video Game Nerd, while he was making his movie, did an episode that featured Toxic Crusaders, the NES game, playing with Lloyd there.
Yeah, that's so
and
cool.
And let Lloyd play it. And Lloyd was like, this is a bunch of crap. This game is horrible. Who made this game? And
it is
like,
bad.
You did. He's like, oh.
Hilarious.
It is bad. It is bad.
The Angry Video Game Nerd has a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's working on it.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
We don't want to plug other people's stuff on here.
I'm cool with the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah. Along those lines, and we glazed right over it, and it doesn't exactly count because it wasn't an R-rated movie franchise or whatever, but even the Turtles themselves came from really graphic
source
material. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it came from very graphic.
Now, that was the cartoon before the toy line, right?
Yeah. The toy line came out right before the cartoon.
It was all bundled. They made that
because
a
that's
franchise.
Another one. Like it wasn't like I said, it wasn't a big R-rated movie that they made a bunch of toys at. But somebody looked at this ultra-violent comic book and went, "Oh, the kids are gonna love it."
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know? Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too. A lot of people just don't even realize still that that's the roots of the Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, most people's memories of the Ninja Turtles is that cartoon toy line.
Yeah.
They have no idea that there was this whole world of Turtles that came before all that stuff. That was very much like a cult thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a cult following in the comics.
Yep.
And IDW over the last couple of years have made an effort to really keep those old Mirage issues
in
print.
So
you can go to like Barnes & Noble now and buy these huge like volumes of Turtles from the early days from the first issue on. And they're just these amazing, huge, large size volumes that are these, you know, these library style books that you know, they're doing a good job of keeping it in line because Nickelodeon's now so focused on the new series and the kid audience and keeping that they've kind of shuttered the legacy of where this line came from.
So is the new one back to more, not that the cartoons were ever adult-centered, but for a while they got a little bit more aggressive, or are they back to more
Danny
of the kid stuff
now? Danny talked about like NECA being very fan-servicing, and the cartoon, I think, is very fan-servicing. It services a lot of... You know, there's a lot of inside jokes that only longtime fans would get. There's a lot of little, you know.
I think it's arguable to say that that cartoon that came out in 2003 kind of took things a lot back more towards the comic versions of the Turtles.
It was more serious and a little more like hardcore, not the right, because it was still kid friendly.
Exactly.
But
it was much more serious.
Yeah, it was darker toned. Yeah.
But in my opinion, the new cartoon that's on right now is the ultimate Ninja Turtles cartoon series.
Yeah.
Because they are doing an amazing job of making this cartoon something that the new generation of kids can love and get into, but they are showing so much respect for
the history
of the Ninja Turtles in
of
it.
Everything,
like
from the comics to the movies.
They have seriously so far found a way to make all of the elements from all the past versions of the Turtles work in this new continuity.
Awesome. Yeah.
And they are like, they're just really treating this with respect. You know, they're bringing in all these characters that, you know, the parents of kids who are fans of this cartoon, like parents can get excited about this cartoon
because
you're seeing all this amazing stuff that you get because you remember this happening in, you know, the old comic or the old cartoon or the 2003 cartoon or the movies.
Because all the people who grew up on that old cartoon are having kids now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, that's just my opinion. I think the new cartoon is just the best Turtles cartoon
done. How far into it is it?
They're in season two.
You've already told me in no unspecific terms that I'm assigned to those episodes for a future episode of this podcast.
They're kind
of... Can I get them on DVD yet?
They released all
sporadically.
I was going to say all of season one's on DVD, but they did that volume thing.
Weak.
They haven't released the full season yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting for them to do that before I buy it myself. And they're on season two right now. They're already confirmed for 3 full seasons, and they're probably going to go beyond that.
Cool.
So it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, and it's an assignment I'm looking forward to.
Yes. So. Yes, I can't wait till you watch it, because you're totally going to appreciate
it. We already
traded.
I gave him TMNT. He's going to give me Community.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
And we're both going to win.
I have to watch Community now. Community now. And we're both going to win. Yes, absolutely. Awesome. So Toxic Crusaders, that is definitely got to be the top.
Oh, it's so bizarre.
That's the most bizarre of all of these types of toy lines. Is there anything else we can think of specifically?
Not really. I mean, we covered all the R-rated stuff, but you look at the stuff that was like PG, you look at like Bill and Ted's, and there was a toy line for Bill and Ted's. There was a lot of weird movie-based lines that at the time really made no sense.
Well, the mid-90s is also when those movie maniacs started hitting, right? Which they weren't really kids' they toys, weren't but kids, they had but them. They had them at Toys R Us.
Toys R Us carried them towards.
That would have been late 90s, right?
Yeah, hardcore
McFarlane
horror
stuff.
Movie. Well, yeah.
Honestly, I think that goes back to what I said earlier. The stuff we started getting from McFarlane and the stuff that NECA's giving us, that is all the result of us getting these other movie toy lines. And
well,
then,
and that's all the result of kids our age now in the toy industry, now in positions of power. Because you know, you look at NECA, the head of NECA, Randy Falk, he was a child of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And now that he's grown up and has his own company and can afford to do this type of thing with licenses, you find a lot of fans now in that position of power doing these types of things.
Right.
And servicing not only themselves, but the fan base of the properties as well. Yes, John. Dirty mind, John.
Well, last time I talked to Randy, that's exactly what he said. He says that the reason he makes all these toys based on these properties is because it's the stuff he always wanted to have.
Yeah.
You know, he was a big Alien and Predator fan and RoboCop fan and Terminator fan. And that's why NECA is making these toys based off of this stuff.
Awesome.
So I honestly, I feel like our generation is kind of what made action figures.
Yep.
We're the reason action figures exist, which is exactly why they've grown up with us.
Right.
And it's also why after we're not buying them anymore, the action figure industry is probably not going to be the way it was. I mean,
it hasn't been the way it was for a long time, and you can tell it's because
the newer generation of kids like video games.
Yeah,
our generation, we had video games too, but we were very action figure centric. And
so what happens in 20 years when all these kids are running everything?
They'll be making crazy video game stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like action figures is a dying genre.
The retail environment for toys is very much a dinosaur at this point. It's very much struggling in the boys'
the internet.
Department.
I know, and you guys know a lot more about this than I do. So don't get me wrong, but I think dying has got to be a strong. I mean, kids are always going to want toys. Kids are always going to want toys from stuff they recognize.
Yes, but it's not nearly.
They report losses every year.
It's not. It doesn't generate as much revenue.
It may have peaked and be on a downslope, or it may just be in a valley.
These
markets go up and down.
Well, you see, a company like Mattel and Hasbro now over the years that they bought pretty much all their major competition and own pretty much most of the major toy licenses. I mean, you're always going to have G.I. Joe. You're always going to have Transformers. You're always going to have, Barbie and stuff like that.
Fingers crossed for He-Man.
Maybe.
You never know.
The point being is there's always going to be kids, and toys are always going to be around, and kids are always going to want toys of stuff they recognize. But even if it's not as prolific as it's been, maybe it will be again, maybe it won't.
What you see is these smaller independent companies now becoming more prolific than the major companies. Yeah. I mean, they're doing better stuff than the major toy companies now.
And if that's the way it becomes profitable, there's nothing. I mean, that's just the way it's becoming, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be around. It's not a dying industry.
Well, the toy industry is quickly becoming a collector industry. I mean, that's where it's heading and that's where it's going when it comes to the action figure base of that. I mean, you're always going to have dolls. There's always going to be little girls wanting to play with dolls because it's just a whole different gender orientation. But the action figure thing is just slowly becoming more and more collector-orientated when you have companies like Four Horsemen and NECA and Mezco and Sideshow and Hong Kong Hot Toys, you know, companies like that making these very high-dollar, very amazing figures that the collectors are gravitating towards, while the major two, Mattel and Hasbro, putting out really, in retail, some really bad stuff. I mean, really not great toys. When you break it down and look at it from that angle, you're like, they've gone back to 5 points of articulation. It has a lot to do with the economy. It has a lot to do with oil. Oil is very expensive now.
It's harder to make the toys the way they did when we were. I mean, how many
junkie toy lines have come out in our time?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
There was a ton of them.
Yeah, there were tons and tons of them. And then they got better and better, and now they're getting worse and worse again. And 10 years from now, the economy will be on an upswing again, and stuff will be cheaper, and they'll be doing...
Yeah. Well, what's funny about the junkie toy lines of the 80s is that that's the most valuable stuff now, because nobody bought it, and nobody has it. Look at a line like Galoob's Infaceables.
Infaceables
is a line where they, you know, the figures had this rubber... I don't know if it was silicone or what it was, but this they had a rubber face that was painted that was hiding another face, and you press the button and it basically sucked the air out of the figure and sucked that plastic face against the other, you know, the face underneath it to show you what was underneath it. Those figures on card regularly go for well over $100.
That's ridiculous.
And loose without a face, because those faces deteriorate. That plastic. Yeah. I mean, you remember back in the days of the old the Jack Specific. Remember the Flexums?
Yep.
Wrestlers.
WWE.
Those are your Hogan. I'm sure is just bare.
Goo.
Yeah, it's just a pile of goo. It's just like a head and an armature.
I knew that those were going to fall apart the second those came out. I was just like, "There's no way these are going to."
Yeah.
Like they were tearing immediately.
In 20 years, I'm not going to get any use out of this.
Look at my Hogan, he's rail thin.
What a waste of money.
So it ages with the guy.
Yes, exactly.
Except
your toy Hogan doesn't have a pot belly.
Oh,
poor Hogan.
But I mean, you know, those are the lines now that are, you know, and that goes back to even our R-rated talk. I mean, you talk about these toy lines that no one bought. Police Academy, Swamp Thing, you know, the Terminator's one we didn't talk about.
Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who
sure.
made those?
Kenner.
Yeah.
Dude,
they
Kenner.
Sure did. But they were making toys when T2 came out, which wasn't R-rated, but still you had Terminator toys, you know, Terminator, and then they did toys for T2 The Ride, and then they did Terminator Future War, you know.
Future War, yep, I remember those.
So Kenner was doing some crazy Terminator toys, too, at the time, but, you know, those toys didn't
Terminator
sell
2
well.
Terminator was R-rated.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, be darned.
So,
I thought it was PG-13. Crap.
My bad. So the conclusion...
so it still counts.
Oh, yeah.
The conclusions that we get to come to then at the end of this is that Playmates Toys wins the award for making the most bizarre action figure line based on a movie that's not for kids, which
yes.
would be Toxic Crusaders.
Yes.
But Kenner gets the crown for making all of the other R-rated toy lines that were ever created in the 90s.
And Kenner was just, I mean, before they put themselves out of business, I mean, they were just a...
Hasbro bought them out.
Yeah, Hasbro bought them, and they were just a powerhouse in the 80s.
Everything
was Kenner.
I look back, and I really miss those old Kenner toys.
Oh, yeah. And what's great now with Kenner, though, is people are collecting not only Kenner toys, but they're collecting the pamphlets that were enclosed in most of the big playsets.
Those were so cool. I have a bunch of those.
I have a ton of those.
Yeah, those little pamphlets.
Amazing.
That used to be one of the fun parts about buying a new toy is getting the little booklet inside.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all the other stuff that these guys made. Because
Kenner,
you know?
Kenner in their heyday, did Starting Lineup, which was a huge
starting
success.
Lineup. That's
right.
That was a huge collector push on that, and sports fans collected the crap out of that. For the longest time, Kenner was Nerf. They were doing Nerf stuff.
Yeah, they did do Nerf.
They did do
that
Nerf.
Was before Hasbro.
Well,
Hasbro wanted
to build a house out of nothing but Nerf.
Yeah. A Nerf house.
Just be safe forever.
Your house would tear eventually, though, because you'd just be like, you know.
But nothing would ever hurt.
That's true.
Like, oh, I fell down the stairs again. Wee.
It's true.
I fell down the stairs again. Wee.
Ouchie.
I like it.
What happened?
Awesome.
I twisted my toe on my Nerf stairs. It hurt.
Well, this was definitely a fun discussion, and I knew it was going to be. It's a topic that's always intrigued me, and it's just so weird, and it's crazy to think how things have really changed, because now we are at that era where we've got the McFarlanes and the NECAs and all these companies making these toys are specifically based off of horror films and R-rated movies
and even
stuff.
New stuff today. I mean, you had Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2 had figures, you know.
Yep.
And that
NECA.
NECA. I mean, you know, you're still having, to this day, more collector
based,
but more R-rated properties are becoming toys these days.
But to be fair, a lot of the stuff now is for collectors.
Collectors, yes.
And back then, they were making these lines for kids.
Swamp Thing!
And that's where the big, you know, interest in this topic really came from for me. Because it's not unusual to see R-rated toys now, but in the 90s and the 80s, R-rated toys were made for kids, not collectors.
Yeah,
there weren't prominent toy collectors back then.
Yeah, they didn't make toys for adults
in
1992.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's always an arguing point amongst collectors on what was actually the best era of toys. You know, some people will say the 50s and 60s. Some people will say the 70s. You know, we'll always say the 80s. And there are some kids out there who will say 90s and, you know...
I would say the 80s and the 90s.
I still say
90s for sure.
I still say late 70s from when Mego, World's Greatest Superheroes, all the way up through Power Rangers was probably the highest points of the toy industry for kids. It was when stores still had the largest toy aisles. It's when Toys R Us just had straight aisles and nothing but floor to ceiling action figures.
You could go and try to collect a set without
having to take out a second mortgage.
Yeah, man.
On the house. Because I walk through Walmart now, and I'm like, hey, cool superhero toy. Oh, it's $20.
Yep.
For one.
Yep. Average price for a figure these days is like $20. Yeah. Back then, they were like $3.99.
Yeah. You know? Which, I mean, was a lot of money when you were a kid, but you could still, you know, work and get some extra allowance and go and buy three or four of them.
Well, and that was part of the reason.
Now you got to work a 30-hour work week to be able to afford two or three.
And that's part of the reason why we had so many G.I. Joes as a kid. You know, G.I. Joes were $2.99.
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe were $3.99 to $4.99, depending on where you went. You know, the vehicle. Castle Grayskull was $30.
Yeah, man.
At Snake Mountain, $30.
The Castle Grayskull
when Eternia came out was $50.
Yep.
Yeah, the Castle Grayskull I just bought was $250.
The most
expensive $50 or 2.5 superheroes.
The
only playset at that time that cost as much as Dan's newest Castle Grayskull was the flag. And it was a $100 playset. Yep. You know, that was the most expensive toy ever made in the '80s. That was action figure.
Oh man. I wish I could go back in time just to walk down the action figure aisles, just to look at things.
Yep.
I love looking at old pictures online that people have of.
Well, there's a great website that's cataloged a lot of the old toy store.
So cool.
Photos. That's just great to click through their gallery and go, "That's awesome! That's awesome!
Good
that's awesome!"
Good times, man.
What is it?
Can I say it on here, Dan?
Go ahead.
Plaid Stallions.
Oh, Plaid Stallions is an awesome site.
Yeah, they're basically a '70s toy and nostalgia site, but they've cataloged a lot of shots from the '70s and '80s of independent toy stores and larger toy stores. So people send them photos from when they were kids or out of newspaper clippings, and they're beautiful to look at because you just see walls of Masters of the Universe and walls of Star Wars and Mego and Shogun Warriors from the
'70s. Cool to walk in and see that.
Oh yeah,
those days were great.
That's the only reason why I want to create a flux capacitor. I don't want to go back in time to see, you know, or into the future. I'm going to go back to like '84, '85 and just walk into a Toys R Us and go,
we're such nerds.
And go, do I have the, do you think I could pass off today's currency for
this? I was going to say, you have to go back in time with the right dated money so that you can actually buy things. Awesome. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up this particular discussion. But it was awesome, and it's a topic that's always going to interest me, I think. It's so fun. And I'm going to have to actually go look because there might even be more lines. I'm sure there's others that we didn't even think of, but we covered a really...
I think those are pretty much all the major art because when I told my wife Carrie that we were going to do this episode, she rattled all of them off.
Really?
Like that. And then she turned and looked at me and went, I'm going to go back to before I knew you and before I knew this information because it's horrible. So, yes. Yeah,
useless knowledge.
Useless knowledge is wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think we covered just about every R-rated property that became a toy line.
And it was fun.
Yes.
This is very cool stuff. Awesome. Well, Jason, I want to thank you for coming on to have this discussion with us.
Well, thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, you're always coming on my stuff, and it's like, it's about time.
That's right. Yeah. Got to bring you over here. Cool. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can come find your stuff?
Well, yeah, you can find us at toyworldorder.com. You can find us every week. Every Thursday is a new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, where it's just me and, of course, my buddy Dave Draper sitting around waxing nostalgic about the toy industry and toys in general. We're getting ready to go on a hiatus, but of course there's Married to the Collection, which I co-host with my wife. Well, it's winter time. We don't get out as much. So the show goes on hiatus.
Time to shut yourself in for the winter.
Right, that's right. Of course, you know, co-production of pixel-dan.com and toyworldorder.com. You can find Dan and I on board.
Yeah.
There's a special wrap-up episode coming December, as well as a Christmas episode. And then we're getting ready to ramp up season two for a March premiere 2014. So a lot going on, you know, lots of reviews on Toy World Order and lots of new shows that we're working on to get on the air here eventually. So
sweet.
You know, we just asked you that as a courtesy. You could have just flipped off your Twitter handle and been done.
Nah. Oh, I have my Twitter handle. You can follow me on Twitter at Puppet Duvall.
Look at that. Look at that. All right, Jonathan, where can people come to find you aside from here?
That JLeonard31 on Twitter.
Yeah.
Why do I not follow you on Twitter?
Because I don't post much.
No, that could be.
But I should, and I'll start eventually. I'll keep promising this show every week until I do it.
There you go. But you'll start getting people to talk to you on Twitter, so you'll be forced to eventually.
There you go.
You'll keep putting out your Twitter handle there. Awesome. Cool. Well, guys, as always, make sure you're checking out pixel-dan.com on a daily basis. I'm always posting a new toy review video, lots of toy news, lots of fun stuff going on over there at that site. I usually try to have at least one new video review up every single day, so make sure you're checking out the site for that.
Where do you find the time?
It's tough, man. But
yeah,
I make
with
it
a baby
happen.
On the way. What are you gonna do?
Sleep is for the weak.
Well, it's probably a good thing Danny's an insomniac.
That's right. That's right. You can also find me over on YouTube if you prefer to watch the videos there. Just make sure you do a search for Pixel Dan and hit that subscribe button. That way, you will never miss a video. And as for the Geek Easy podcast, you can find this podcast on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. We should be showing up on Radio IO soon. So there are lots of different ways that you can download and listen to this show. So whatever your preferred medium is, please subscribe, follow, do whatever you need to do, and help spread the word on the Geek Easy. So until next time, my name is Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And I'm Jason Duvall.
We'll see you guys next time in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.